Who is in charge of my inner genius? Creatively, I take charge of the people and the world I create. Each is a reflection of my dreams and my goals for myself. The world is far more vast than humans imagine. People have unbelievable gifts. Let's read that again. Who is in charge of my inner genius? Creatively, I take charge of the people and the world I create. Each is a reflection of my dreams and my goals for myself. The world is far more vast than humans imagine. People have unbelievable gifts. Creatively, I take charge of the world in which I live. I look about myself and I see the world. I see all the things that exist here. And I think to myself, gee, that's pretty nice, pretty exciting. But then I take the next step and I say, so what? So what? Here's a room full of people. And the room is full of wonderful people, filled with ideas, filled with dreams, filled with goals. And none of them are being accomplished. All of them are sort of just hovering, waiting to have a chance to get excited and light and go. And what makes them go? What makes these dreams, ideals, and goals that we have for ourselves go? What makes them come alive and become something very significant in our world? What makes them something that we really want to have? It is our imagination. Because we can all look at the same purposes, the same goals, the same life, and what happens? Each one of us interpret it differently. Each one of us expect differently from the goals that we see, from the experiences we see. Many of you would look at a bag of sand as a bag of sand. And mothers would look at it as a bag of sand to put in a play box for the children so they can play with it. Fathers would see, mix a little concrete with it, a little cement with it, and it'd make a nice front step so that you can step out of your house on a secure, sound and step. And others would look at it from their own points of view. Gardeners would think they could add a little bit of mulch to it, and it would make a nice planting soil, nice planting surface for their potted plants and for other things that they like. Everyone looks at things just a little differently. The same substance becomes many things under the eyes of many people's thoughts and dreams and goals. You have to decide what you're going to do. A gardener looks at it and does one thing, a mother looks at it and does another, a father looks at it and does another. But what is the real purpose of it? What is the real purpose of the bag of sand? What is the real purpose of it? Is it just a bag of silicon? What does a scientist do with it? He makes wristwatches out of it. He makes computers out of it. He takes that silicon chip, that silicon substance, and he uses it to make chips, and he uses it to do all sorts of beautiful things. Now, have we ever thought of doing that? Have we ever thought of having that in our created world? And the answer is no. Because each one of us march from the drummer that we hear within ourselves, telling us what we're going to do with our creativity. Yes. We look at Mary over here with her imaginative idea of her businesses, and her business is really nothing at all. It's nothing at all. It's just objects that she moves and sells. But the way that she moves it and the way that she sells it, the creativity that she uses, makes it come alive with magic. Makes it come alive. Some mothers raise children and they say, oh darn, you know, bothersome raising these children. They're just a pain in the neck. Other mothers raise their children calling them constantly a genius, calling them constantly wonderful, calling them constantly amazing, My children are utterly amazing. The things they come up with, the things they do. Oh, it could drive me mad. But instead, I know that it's their inner genius that is coming out and expressing. And I'm going to encourage that in everything I do. So what are you going to do as you encourage this to bring it out? You're going to tell them how wonderful they are. You're going to tell them how this inner genius is just so super and so fantastic and so glorious. And they're going to become better and better and better at bringing it out. Now, sometimes the way they bring the genius out is not too beneficial. And that's where intelligence comes in from the people who are guiding them and directing them. You all are children. We all are children. We all are just sort of ready to do things, ready to play our games, ready to have fun with our life. Now, who is our guide? Who is our director? Who is going to show us how to use the creative genius we have? Who's going to show us how to use the possibilities we have? Who's going to show us how to take that bucket of sand and make the many uses that is possible for it? Who's going to show us? Well, I'll tell you who's going to show you. Who's going to show you is that inner genius. And that's why it's so important for us to be aware the genius is there, be aware the intelligence is within us, the divine intelligence is within us, and be aware that we have the privilege and the opportunity and the responsibility to do something with that inner genius. So, the child starts taking things apart. And as he takes things apart, he can't put it back together. So it gets trashed. And we think, oh, what a waste, what a waste. Is it really? Is that child learning some basic things? Do we have the intelligence to guide them and say, hey, you don't have to throw that away. Let's see how we could put that back together. Let's see how it might work. And then instead of saying to him, you stupid kid, you took apart the wonderful clock, now we can't use it anymore. Instead of saying that to him, we say, now let's see, come on, I'm going to work with you. Let's see how we can put that back together. We can figure it out together, can't we? So let's work on it. You see, your inner genius goes along with the inner genius of your creation, your children, your family, your world, your spouse. All the people in your universe, they're waiting for you to come up with your imagination to make their world come alive. Now, Bill Gates had a dream of making computers and making computer programs and doing all sorts of neat things with them. And that was his dream. And he went ahead and did it. And he sold them and he made enough money to be very profitable, but he went ahead and did it. And when he went ahead and did it, it just grew and grew and grew. He wasn't in there to make it grow. He wasn't in there to come up with some very successful organization or business. He just had ideas that his inner creative self was ready to work on and bring forth. Now, it doesn't matter where these are. We said the other day that here in Africa is where all human beings on the face of the earth first began and spread throughout the world. Well, now, we often say in America, bring me your sad and your homeless and the people who are needing help and bring them to America and they will find a place to be loved and to grow. And what happens? People came and they didn't act homeless. The first thing they did when they came to America was to say, I want to do something. And they became industrious. And they started businesses and they started companies. And they had companies in which the whole family worked. Mother and father and the kids all worked on the business to make it a success. And boom, it became a fabulous success. Then, because America was so successful and because it was so much money and so much success going around, they stopped being creative like that. They stopped being creative like that until those strange people from Korea and Thailand and other places began to come to America. And it was no longer the Irish and the Germans and the English. Now it was these Koreans. And these Koreans came to America, and with their families, they worked a business, and they made a business grow out of virtually nothing. And it became so successful, but the whole family worked at it. And the whole family was working at the store, working at the business. They had enough money in one generation to put all of their children through the university. And all of their children went to the university and became exquisite scholars because their parents expected the very best out of them. And that inner genius that was titillated by their parents, by what they expected of them, they became the leaders of government. They became the leaders of industry in the United States. Strange. You look at Business Week magazine, and it's an interracial type of magazine. My goodness, all the different nationalities being represented in America. And you think it'd be American, they'd all be American-looking people, but what's an American-looking people? It's an interracial people. That's what America is. It's an interracial country. It's a country where everybody has an opportunity to do whatever they want. And the slavery that brought the black community to America was a terrible thing. And in time, it got over, and the people remained in slavery even though they were no longer in slavery. Except a couple of silly people decided that they were going to be like the Koreans, and they were going to make America their stomping ground for success. And these black people did not mess up their houses. They did not destroy their community. They built on it. And they taught their children to be proud. They taught their children, you can do anything. And then America says you have to be born in America to be the president. America says you have to have a good background to be the president. You have to have good culture about you. Well, along comes this strange man called Obama. And he comes from a broken marriage. His family didn't stick together. His father went down to Kenya. And his mother went to Hawaii. And she found somebody else. And they're perfectly fine people. They're perfectly fine people doing their thing. No one should judge them. And Obama didn't look to them. He looked from them. They were the foundation of his belief in himself, his belief in his ability. But he had something a little extra. He had charisma and genius within himself, and he went out and he showed the world that he was an exquisite man. He got on the Illinois legislature, and he got on many other areas where he didn't fight against anybody. He just proved his inner genius. And because he proved his inner genius, the doors opened up before him. Now, he wasn't a wealthy man. He didn't have great wealth with which to go and run for the government. But when it was time for him to be selected as a candidate for president, the money was there. His amount of money for his campaign was the largest amount of money collected for any campaigner seeking a political office. Hundreds of millions of dollars, woo-wee, you know? But they were all investing in a man who had charisma, who had a belief in himself, who believed that his inner genius was there. And it was. Just think in the daily life of any president, all the things they have to go through. They have to know how to deal with other countries. They have to know how to deal with the various parties. They have to know how to deal with the people. But they're supposed to be serving the people, and they're just learning to get along with each other. And it's quite an amazing thing. But then the other party which was really not in favor of America, the other party, which really was not in favor of doing what is highest and best for the people, want to destroy Obama and his program because it's so successful. Their own party looks like, you know, dried up hay. And instead of joining Obama in his program and bringing together all the power of the country to support him and build on the wonderful things that he is bringing forth, they fight him. They're trying to knock down his programs. But his inner genius is so sound and so secure, he doesn't enter the fight against the other party and what they're doing. He says, this is my program, this is what we're doing, and this is what we're going to do. Now, he may or may not be successful. That's not the point. The point is, all right, what is he?
He has a vision.
He is untouched.
Okay, so
he is untouched. I'm pointing up there at your sign. He is untouched by all this stuff. He is, and his wife are just a glorious couple, and their two children. They're fantastic. The world has to look at them and say, not that they're another Kennedy. They love the Kennedys because they brought charm to the White House. Now, Obama is bringing charm to the White House, bringing charm to America. But he's black. He has no reason, no power, no way to bring charm to it. Well, where does his charm come from? It comes from that inner genius. That inner genius that doesn't know any colors. That inner genius that doesn't know any background or any limited background or even better background. They're the Kennedys, my goodness, they had everything going for them. Of course, they weren't very nice people, really. The Kennedys were not really very nice people. Mr. Kennedy, he was alcohol runner. He was
cowboy.
No. He sold drugs. He sold alcohol, and he brought alcohol to America when it was prohibition time. And he did all things against what was going on in the government, and he became very rich. And because of that richness, he could send all of his sons into the government and get them in Congress and get them in all sorts of positions. But he was not a noble, beautiful man. He tried to pretend he was. With all their money, they lived in lovely estates and stuff like that. But even with the ugliness of what his background was, what happened to his sons? His sons were noble and beautiful men and women. And they went on to become great people in America. But I think none will compare, or not that we want to compare, but none will come close to what this most remarkable man, Obama, and his wife are doing. They are so much for the people. They're so much for the health care. There's so much for the medication for hospitals. There's so much for schools and education. There's so much for all the things that touch the people's lives that they're successful. Now, why did your governor win here? Why did he win? Well, he won because the other guy couldn't go on. No. Other people would have liked to have that job too. But he took on the issue for the people. Now, why did your president win?
Because it's on the issue.
Same thing. He took on the issues for the people. Now, will he, and of course, all previous ones did the same thing.
Yes.
You can't say that it's unusual. But are they, in their first few days of office, are they showing that they're actually doing something about this for the people? Are they showing that they actually are carrying it out? What did Obama do when he went in? He immediately presented his paper to the people. And he immediately told the people as it went along, every single week, every single day. He allows himself to receive 5 emails from the people in the United States every day and answer it personally. 5 emails. That's pretty good by itself. But that's, the people can touch him. And then he now has dinners where in the evening for supper, and I don't know how many days of the week, but he invites people to come in, people from the street, to come in and talk with him about any subject they want. And they're talking about some pretty wonderful subjects. Pretty wonderful subjects. And new genius is coming out of that. And he took a woman and he put her in a job of working on the finances for the United States and bringing the financial budget in order, bringing the whole thing in balance. And she's an amazing woman. She was on his staff years. And now she had been on the White House staff for years before that. Well, she went out and created the most beautiful, definite, multi-party approved program of financing for the government and for the budget. And she was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. But then the president said, well, she drew up the program. She knows how to run it. Let's make her be the head of it, you know? Let's let her be the in charge. Well, you know what what the parties are doing? They're fighting her. They don't want her in there. They want somebody they have in mind in there. This woman wrote the program, and everybody loved it. This program, this woman created this wonderful new approach to financing and budget in the American government. And everybody has said it's exquisite. But because she's of a different party, they are against her. They're trying to put her down. And who knows? She may succeed, she may not. That isn't important. If they take her program and carry that out, that's important. That's beautiful. She would be the ideal one to do it. It's her baby. It's her love. She is so into the intricacies of that program, she could be the magic person for it. And she is magnificent. Now, what are you doing in your world? Are you fighting against the boogeyman at every corner? Are you fighting at every little thing that comes up and says you can't do it? It says it won't work? Schwarzenegger came from Austria, and he was born there, and he came to the United States, and he married one of the Kennedy clan, and he's a weightlifter and so forth, and he became very popular, and money supported him as he became governor of California. But unfortunately, he became governor of California just when everything went chong, all the markets went down, and everything was dropping. And so his programs and his budget and his plan are sort of nothing. Not that they weren't, but when his opposition party objects to him because they want to get their program in there, it makes it difficult for him to accomplish anything. But he did get in there. Here he was, an actor. He was in the Terminator movies and so forth. Here he was, a very successful weightlifter. He was on the President's Health Council for many, many years, on many presidents, four different presidents. And now he became governor. But you know what he does? He became governor. He is a health nut. A health nut governor. He became governor of the state of California, the largest state, except for Texas and Alaska, of size, but in volume of people and quite large volume of land. He became the governor. And what does he do? He smokes cigars. He smokes cigars. And we are in a period of time where you don't smoke, you know. You're not supposed to smoke. And here, the governor is smoking. And the people are not objecting. I don't hear any noise against it. People like what he's doing. They like the man. And if he smokes cigars, well, so what, you know. Now, if you asked him, and I'm sure people have, but if you asked him, why is he in the health nut smoking cigars, what would he say? Because I want to. Because I feel like it. I'm being myself and having fun. It's what I want to do. Is that okay? Can he do that? Sure, he can do that. Yeah. If cigars, cigarettes, and all that tobacco and stuff like that are not good for the country, what should you do? Just ban them. And if you don't ban them, then they must be okay. I feel that they're not necessarily good. I've been through cigars and pipe myself over the years, but that just drifted away because I no longer wanted it. But people who do want it, perfect. If you want it because you're addicted to the caffeine, well, then you got a problem. And then a little help would be a good idea. Now, how are you going to take the genius within yourself? How are you going to take that inner genius that you have and let it become an Obama, you know? Let it become some great being. What's the name of our fellow in South Africa who got out of prison?
Oh, Mandela.
Mandela. I mean, what a stupid guy. Stupid man, Mandela. Allowing himself to be put in prison. With such a genius that he has, such charisma he has. But he was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the right thing. And so the other party put him in prison. And he was no more deserving of going to prison than the man in the moon. But he got out. And what did he get when he got out? They tried to make his wife into a silly lady and do dumb things. And finally they got off her back. And then they got off his back. And then they made him into a very fine office holder. Now, what's he doing for Africa? What's he doing for the Africans? Who did Obama's wife visit when she came here to Africa? Mandela. What a compliment to Mandela. What a compliment to him and the country of Africa. What a lovely statement of confidence that the United States has in him. The president's wife making this special invitation, a special visit. Now, it doesn't change what Africa is. It doesn't change what Mandela is. But it does show what America thinks of Mandela, what America thinks of Africa, what America thinks of these nations and how wonderful and powerful these nations are and how respected they are. You see, the president's wife doesn't go visiting everybody. She hasn't got time to and she doesn't care to. But they go and visit people that turn them on, that they feel have made a tremendous contribution to the world. And so Mandela has done. And so the Obamas have done. Now, what about you? Are you going to go out and show the color of your desire, the color of your program? Are you going to be positive and dynamic and successful in everything you do? Are you going to let your inner genius shine forth? Or are you going to say, I can't do it? It doesn't work. What makes Mandela successful? His charisma. What makes Obama successful? His charisma. There are lots of people who are just as much a genius as these men, just as fantastic as these men, just as black as these men. But they didn't get anywhere. Where did they get? Martin Luther King got shot. You don't want that. You don't want to get shot for what you believe. But when you stand up, you may be shot. But remember President Reagan? President Reagan was one of our outstanding presidents. And people said he was a sleepyhead president. But he was in his late 70s as he was in the office. And he was doing pretty good. He was doing pretty good for that time. Now, when you're in your late 70s, you're playing tennis every day. But then you didn't do that. You were considered to be elderly. And what happened to Reagan? Regan stood up for so many things, so many principles that we never knew about or never heard about. We are hearing about it now. And they tried to shoot him. They tried to assassinate him. They tried to assassinate the Pope, remember?
Yeah.
The good Pope, the nice guy. The Pope that really was, you know, for the first time, had the interest of the world at heart, not just his own people, which is what a Pope should have, his own people at heart. But to have the world at heart, like the Obamas are doing, to have the world at heart, like all successful entrepreneurial people who have charisma, that's the thing. Well, now, within you, and let's perhaps even think of it that way, within you is not necessarily a genius. Within you is something so special. Genius is a good word, but something so special. What is it that's within each of you that is going to be the lodestone that takes you into your success? What is the word? Your individual charisma. Your individual charisma. Each of you have an individual charisma that's indefatigable. It cannot be stopped. You have an individual charisma that makes you a light wherever you go. You walk into any political office or any social office or any activity in your country here, and people look at you and they don't know why, but they immediately respect you. You're not making them respect you. You're not even doing anything to cause them to respect you. But you, by the very image, by the very charisma of your being, are the type of person that they say, I respect that man. You look at a president who's being elected for a country, as your president recently was, and you didn't know him. You still don't know him. You think he's a nice guy. What's his name? Goody?
Jonathan.
Good luck.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. Good luck. Good luck. Yeah. What a nice name. Good luck. You don't know what kind of guy he is. You think he's nice. You think he's good. You think what you have heard about him is good. But does he have charisma? No.
Yes.
You can say yes or no, whatever you like. But does he have charisma?
Yes.
Yes.
How does he show it? Does he show his charisma by the only way you can ever show your charisma? And that is your self-confidence in yourself. When you are self-confident, you have charisma. When you are self-confident in your program, in your dreams, in your desires, in your what things that you want to happen in your world, when you have self-confidence, that's charisma. That's what Obama did. He had self-confidence. That's what Reagan did. Reagan came out of nothing but a Hollywood actor and the governor of California. And then he became the president. And they loved him. They felt he was fabulous. And he was. And he is. Now, what kind of person are you? Don't take this as something you should aspire to. Is the world going to look at you when you are no longer here and say, you did something beautiful for your world? Or is the world going to look at you and say, they were a nothing? They had no self-confidence. They had no confidence to accomplish any goal at all. How will the world look at you? And you don't care, really. But that's the criteria. Now, how will you look at yourself as you are living? Are you always living to your highest and best? Are you always living to the ideal person that you are? Are you always living to who you really are? What your direction, your purpose, your goal is in life? Does the world delight in you because you delight in you? If ever, no, that's a good point. If ever you feel superior to anyone in your world, you're dead.
Yes.
Obama doesn't feel superior to anybody. He has a program, and he knows the program works. He is intelligent enough to put the program on paper. He knows how to gather around him the positive people who have the ability to carry out the program. And he doesn't say, I'm better than somebody. He doesn't say, I'm top dog. He just says, this is my job. My job as president is to do this. Now, your job as father or mother of your family is to do what? And are you doing it? Are you the kind of mother, are you the kind of father that your children admire? Are you doing the kind of things that make them feel, wow, what wonderful parents I have? Are you so loving of yourself and of your children and of your world that everyone looks at you and says, hey, that's my ideal. That's my ideal. That's a fabulous person. That's a glorious person. That's a good person. Do you think Mandela was the ideal at all times? Mandela had the same experience that Hitler had. Hitler was in prison. Mandela was in prison. Hitler wrote Mein Kampf while he's in prison and became the most successful dictator the world's ever known. It is not to his credit, but he became a most successful dictator in stupid things. Mandela was in prison, and he wrote his book. And he came out of prison, and not immediately, but they recognized his charisma and the magic of his word and the fantastic quality of his being, and they put him in a position of authority because he could not. It was not a matter of denying him that position, but they were not so stupid as to let that be lost to all the world. And they put him in a position of great authority, and he still is there. And he still has the feeling of the people that they believe in him, they love him. Now, here a man was in prison, and he was imprisoned improperly, unrighteously. And he was in prison for a long time, as long as the contrary party had the power to keep people as political prisoners. And he was certainly not given a nice place to be in prison. He was just in the rat race, just like every other prisoner. But he was a man of quality. He was a man of dignity. He was a man of charisma. And wherever he was, that charisma shone forth. All the prisoners recognized here was a great person. They didn't worship him, but they supported him to accomplish whatever he chose to accomplish. And you can be sure that as he was in prison, he, through his own genius and through his own creative understanding, brought about changes in the prison to the benefit of all the prisoners. It's really quite something. Now, what about you? Are you in prison in your home? Are you in prison in your community? Are you in prison in your world? Or are you a free person? And you are not a free person. No Nigerian is a free person. You are not allowed to leave this country and return and do whatever you wish. You can't get out of here. You can, you might say, but really you can't. If you have the right passport and you already have a British citizenship so that you could come and go and then you have these things, sure, you can do it. But you're in prison. I'm not trying to say something against Nigeria. That's not my point. But you're in prison. Now, is that the kind of country you want to have where you are tied there against your will, if it's against your will, whereas you would like to be free to come and go? You could travel the world and be a marketing salesman of the world and bring back wonderful new items and take from Nigeria and sell around the world the wonderful creative productions that Nigeria makes. But as of the moment, you can't do that. If you're a Sam Sasu, you know how to handle that. You know how to get yourself set up. He has a big operation in Ghana, and because he has a big operation there, they're not worried about him not coming back home. And so he goes here and goes there, and he sends his wife to China to go shopping and buy things for their clinics and for the projects that he works on. Amazing man. But why aren't you amazing? Are you amazing too? Can you do anything that anybody else can do? Sure. If you feel sorry for yourself, then beware, because the journey is straight down. If you feel confidence in yourself, charisma in yourself, you just move like a floating feather right into all activity. Nigeria is a glorious country. It's a wonderful country. It's a country anyone would be proud to live in if Nigeria did several things. But they don't have the courage to do the several things just yet because they don't yet believe in themselves. And America didn't always believe in itself either. When it was starting out, the people who came to America were the outcasts from other countries and the evil people from other countries who were trying to get away from the religious persecution that came. But the same thing took place in another country. Remember what the name of that other country is? Australia. In Australia, the English sent their prisoners down there to be in prison in Australia. They couldn't get out. And what happened to these prisoners? What happened to these prisoners in Australia? They became the citizens of Australia. And these citizens didn't stop being human beings and good human beings. They developed Australia into one of the major good countries of the world, one of the major financially sound countries of the world. And it is growing and growing and growing. And who are the foundation people of it? They're the people that were sent there in the prison colony. But their goal was to live a good life. And to live a good life, they had to put in motion the causes of a good organization or a good country or values. And with their values, then the country grew and grew and grew. And Nigeria will. Nigeria will also. If Nigeria had prisoners running Nigeria, it wouldn't be long before everybody would have a very wonderful country. And the reason that I say that is that the prisoners no longer want things for themselves. They want things for their community. They know if they don't build Australia into a wonderful country, they won't have a wonderful country in which to live. And if they don't give Australia all the freedoms of commerce and shipping and selling and intercommerce, they won't have the benefit of it. And this is what Nigeria wants to do. It wants to have a country that's free. It wants to have a country that sends things around the world and has things come back. It wants to be a country that is strong within itself. And the only way it's going to be strong within itself is when it has people like you who have charisma and who believe in yourself and who say, I don't care. I'm just another Obama. I'm just another Obama. What a terrible thing to say about yourself. Not bad, huh? If you were just another Obama, another genius, another man of dignity and charisma, wow. Is your president an Obama? Is he filled with dignity? Is he filled with charm? Is he filled with the people's desire? Are your governors of each of your areas, are they the finest men available to bring to your country the highest and best for it?
Yes.
Okay. If they are, then support them. Back them. Write them letters. Go to them personally and say, I'm with you. And so is all of Oweri. So is all of Umo State. So is all of River State. So is all of the nations within our country. And they need to know that. And they need to know that regularly, that you're behind them. And What happens when you're behind something? It has to go forward. Because you're behind it, they can't go backwards. It has to go forward. And if it has to go forward, it cannot take funds and misuse them. Or at least it misuses a smaller amount. But it cannot take funds and misuse them because you're right there looking at how things are handled and how things are done. You are the charismatic leaders of this world. Not because you're the officers, because you're the leaders. You're the ones who have the feeling in your heart of how to handle this. Stanislaus Dyck told me that he's working on the governor's committee to do whatever they're doing, putting the governor's program into action. And he said that he told the governor, the new governor, all about what I had said about Nigeria. Now, I got to watch myself. Not really. But he told the governor how I taught the songs of I Bless Nigeria, Land That I Love. And he told that to the governor. The governor said, wow, that's great. And he told the governor about the lectures that he attended where I naturally wax eloquent about politics and religion and philosophy. And the governor said, that is terrific. That is wonderful. And so then I asked Mr. Dyke a question. I said, does the governor want to meet me? And he didn't have an answer. But that's all right. If he wants to, I'm here. If he doesn't want to, I still am doing whatever I'm doing. And my greatest desire for all of you is that you live in a nation that is so fantastic, so great, so wonderful, so beautiful, so wealthy. You live in such a nation that everything is coming up roses for you. Now, what's going on? What is going on with my throat? This is what goes on. This is what our life is all about. This is what we are all about. So, with that, we are at the point of pause. So we'll take a pause. But your country, and my reason for returning year after year, over 7 years I've been coming here, year after year, and carrying the same message of a belief in your country, a belief in your government, a belief in everything. Yes. And I always will and always have, because I love you. And I know that your officers running your government love you too. So we will pause and come back at the hour and then have our discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.